You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Trump administration continues to ramp up immigration enforcement, with ICE agents and National Guard troops being deployed to cities across the country. And its efforts not only focused on detainment, but also removing judges that oversee immigration cases. Last month, the federal government fired dozens of immigration judges across the country, including three in Sacramento, which has seen its share of enforcement activity. These removals have raised alarms. Some within the judicial community are warning of a potential chilling effect for years to come. Today, we're going to break down some of the reactions to these firings and what the impacts are on local immigrants that need these legal services. CAP Radio State House politics reporter Gerardo Zavala has been following this and joins us now. Hey, Gerardo.
Hey, Vicky.
All right. So let's just start with a little bit of context and background. What is the broader situation facing immigration judges across the country?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, dozens of immigration judges have been getting fired across the country. As of last week, that number was around 120 as of the time of my reporting, but now that's closer to 140. And most of these judges have not been given an actual explanation for their firings. Some critics think it might have something to do with how many asylum cases they approve.
So how many immigration judges are there in Sacramento?
So prior to the firings, there were 8. Now that's down to 5.
What did you learn about the reasons behind these firings?
So the firings have been happening for a while now, but they've ramped up in recent months as many Biden-appointed judges have approached the end of their 2-year probationary period. In response, the Department of Defense has authorized up to 600 military lawyers to serve as temporary immigration judges. They say it's to compensate for the firings, but there are concerns about inexperienced judges taking on these cases, as immigration law is, you know, one of the most complicated fields of study for lawyers and judges.
So given that we have 3 terminations in our area, let's learn a little bit about the judges who were fired. Introduce them to us.
So the administration fired Loretto Geis, Robert Maggard, and Allison Dahl. They were all let go without public explanation. I looked up their records and found that each of the 3 judges denied asylum claims at far lower rates than other judges, and that's including their other colleagues here in Sacramento and also nationwide. Maggard, for example, denied less than 1 in 20 claims, which is 12 times below the national average of roughly 60% for immigration judges. Dahl denied roughly 1 in 10 claims, and Geis had the highest denial rate of 1 in 5. And also, each of them has been serving for more than 2 years, which means they were past their probationary period, so the administration should have a valid reason to fire them beyond their denial rates.
Okay, let's expand upon the denial of asylum claims. Why is that significant when you're looking into potentially the reasons why they could have been fired?
It's significant because the denial rates, as I mentioned, across the country are pretty high, but there are expectations that are, you know, even higher than that. And the fact that, you know, 1 in 20, as I mentioned, for Maggard, that's a 5% denial rate. So it's not...
Which is relatively low compared to her colleagues nationally.
Yes, extremely low. So it's not being told to them exactly, like, explicitly why they're being fired, but these denial rates seem to be the reason why a lot of these judges are being targeted. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned at the beginning, it is creating a bit of a chilling effect, right?
You spoke with a law professor about these firings. What did they have to say?
Yeah, I spoke with J.J. Mulligan. He's an immigration attorney at the UC Davis Immigration Law Clinic. He explained that many of the judges being fired were appointed by President Joe Biden in 2023. Those judges are now nearing the end of that 2-year probationary period I mentioned, where the Department of Justice could essentially fire them without providing a reason. So that's likely why we're seeing so many judges being fired. But as I noted before, some of these judges, including all 3 judges fired from Sacramento last month, are well past their probationary period and therefore would need a more valid reason for being fired, like misconduct. Mulligan's concern is that the military judge replacements will make the process even more difficult for immigrants.
In immigration court, you know, there's a vast majority of folks that go unrepresented, and so they don't have a lawyer representing them. They're going against the ICE attorney. So the judge that is up there is sometimes sort of the last arbiter of any sort of due process for a person that's unrepresented. So if you think about this in the criminal court context, imagine someone going without a public defender and the prosecutor saying this guy's guilty of so-and-so crime, and the judge is just going along with whatever the prosecutor says. You can imagine how many people in criminal court would be going to jail or pleading out to these terrible charges, even if they're innocent, just because they don't know anything about the legal system.
Yeah, and given the change in administration, the reason why we're having this conversation is immigration enforcement has ramped up mm-hmm. with the Trump administration. And if these judges did have a lower asylum denial rate compared to their colleagues, it could be perceived as being perhaps more sympathetic or being against the enforcement policies of the Trump administration, although they're not clearly explaining why they're terminating immigration mm-hmm. judges, but there's a lot of context happening around these firings. When you spoke with a former immigration judge who knew these judges as part of your reporting, how are they feeling about the terminations from the federal government?
So I spoke with Dana Lee Marks, and she did work with each of them in the past and knew them personally. Yeah, she told me she was shocked that they would be fired.
And it fits into a larger pattern right now of a complete disregard for the civil service laws, where someone with tenure with the government should not be fired unless there is good cause, which means some kind of misconduct. And I can't believe that any of them have done anything that would give rise to a charge like that. As far as I know, there has been no reference to any kind of personal misconduct in any of the firings of immigration judges, which now is reaching around 100 or more across the United States.
And Mark served as an immigration judge in San Francisco for 35 years, and she said she's never seen anything like this. She told me veteran judges like the three fired here in Sacramento are normally only removed, as she mentioned, for misconduct, and views these firings to be more based on executive authority instead of any actual personal performance issues.
Okay, so what is the job search and onboarding like for an immigration judge? So three have been terminated. What does it look like if they want to hire another federal immigration judge? How complicated or simple is that process?
So I think the issue is that they're oversimplifying it. They're instead trying to hire military judges, as mentioned before, to replace these judges. And, you know, some of the judges I spoke to, including Marks, are concerned because they think that's intentional, right? They don't want these judges to exactly know the law. They want them to simply improve the denial claims that I was mentioning before. So, that's essentially what we're seeing. We're not really seeing this process of them hiring actually qualified judges to replace them. And they're losing these experienced judges who could also train those inexperienced judges.
What did you learn about how complicated immigration law is?
It's extremely complicated. I think Dana had a really good quote that she mentioned, and it was something along the lines of there is no TurboTax for immigration law. And it's definitely true, right? People often say it's second complicated only to tax law. She thinks otherwise. And yeah, it is a highly complex set of skills that you need to be that type of judge. And the fact that they're just putting, you know, these judges in there is very concerning.
Yeah. When you were having these conversations, I mean, you spoke with the former Los Angeles immigration judge. What did they tell you?
So when I spoke to her, she mentioned that, you know, there's always been a recognition that there wouldn't be politically motivated actions against immigration judges, but that's all changed now. She also said that, you know, she served for 15 years and she called the administration's recent actions the nuclear option.
One of the things they've done is immediately eliminated the qualifications that you need to be an immigration judge. They are essentially opening it up to any junior attorney with no previous immigration law experience, with no previous experience on the bench or litigator or anything that would provide them at least a minimal ability to be able to transfer their skills onto the bench. The other part is that they're bringing them on as temporary immigration judges at 6-month increments. So again, the goal isn't to have qualified, highly regarded, well-established people in the community who can come in and exercise independent decision-making. They're just looking for somebody who's going to come in, who's going to be given a very bare minimum training, and he's going to be basically unleashed on the public. And I have a lot of respect for the attorneys who are within the military, but there's a different qualification to being an immigration judge than to be a judge advocate general or attorney within the military. So bringing in somebody like that, I don't think is basically setting them up for failure, or alternatively setting them up to become nothing but a rubber stamp deportation machine.
And then just to add, the union representing them, the National Association of Immigration Judges, is unable to fight these firings because it was decertified by the Trump administration in 2020.
Oh, okay. Well, is there precedent for an action like this? I mean, from the people you interviewed, I mean, they haven't seen something like this in years or even decades, but is there some kind of historical precedent allowing a judge to just be fired in this manner?
So from every law expert and the judges I spoke to, no, this is completely new. It's the first time anything like this has happened in their experience. Typically, firings like this don't happen because immigration judges, they don't set precedents. Like, they apply the law that exists when looking at cases. The reason we see firings in other court systems is because they do set precedents. So coming after immigration judges is highly unusual and does appear to be a move from the administration to replace judges with hardline loyalists. And from my talk with Marks, it does sound like these positions previously were career-long roles, right? She served for 35 years as a Reagan appointee. So she never felt the fear that immigration judges are feeling now when they're making these court decisions, when they're deciding like whether or not to deny these claims, because they know that they might be, you know, next if their claim percentages are highly lower. And a big part of why these firings are happening is because the immigration court is overseen by the Department of Justice. Former Los Angeles immigration judge Ashley Tabador had mentioned before, she says that's a problem and noted that many, including the American Bar Association, Federal Bar Association, and American Immigration Lawyers Association, have been calling for the creation of an independent immigration court to avoid situations like this one.
As a country, I think we need to stop and really think about what do we stand for. So if we're going to have an immigration court, if we're going to have an immigration judge, they have to be consistent with our values of having an independent court, having independent judges. So I think at the end of the day, I'm hoping that at a minimum, what is happening now, which is the alarm that we've been ringing for many decades, that you can't have a court in a law enforcement agency, will help people wake up and realize we really need an independent immigration court and really qualify independent immigration judges. Otherwise, you just do not have a system that can protect the integrity of the legal framework that Congress has created.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio State House politics reporter Gerardo Zavala about the firing of three immigration judges in Sacramento and why this move is setting off alarm bells within the judicial community. So we have talked on Insight before with you about immigration enforcement and detainments that have taken place in Sacramento. Of course, Sacramento has federal immigration courthouses. Multiple have happened at the federal building in downtown. I mean, at the root of this is accessing legal services for immigrants. Mm-hmm. So how have local immigrants been impacted by these firings?
It's made their jobs incredibly difficult. You know, those trying to help immigrants through this difficult process. It was already difficult before. NorCal Resist, a nonprofit based here in Sacramento that provides legal services to immigrants and their families, has had volunteers observing immigration court pretty much every day since deportations ramped up a few months ago. Others familiar with the immigration legal system have been accompanying immigrants who need help understanding the process. I've actually sat in on a court session, and you know, they do have a Spanish translator. However, at least when I was there, that person was connected via Zoom and was not available before or after the session. So if you're an immigrant and you're going through that process, you can't really ask that person for clarification that easily. You'd have to get up and essentially ask in front of everyone. that's not a very comfortable thing to do when you already aren't really familiar with the process. So all of that was already difficult before detainments ramped up and judges were fired. But now volunteers have to not just worry about helping immigrants, you know, understand the legal process. They also have to prepare them for the possibility that they may actually be deported, right? And as judges become even busier with larger caseloads because of these firings and ICE agents continue ramping up enforcement, their jobs are only going to get harder.
You have spoken with local aid organizations and advocate groups throughout the year. Did these removals of immigration judges in Sacramento come as a surprise to them?
I don't think it came as a surprise to them, but I do think it comes as a surprise for the immigrants who have been doing their check-ins and, you know, their court hearings at the building for a while. Giselle Garcia, she's the program's director for NorCal Resist, and she told me that cases are being rescheduled without any explanation.
I was there last week when one of the judges who is no longer there, she had a docket. And so individuals came. And instead of being told, you know, this judge is no longer your judge, they were just scheduled for a new hearing a couple months out without any other information. So, and these are some individuals who were like, oh, you know, I've been seeing this judge for a few months now. And so they feel a little bit more acclimated to like the way she runs her courtroom and her procedures. I mean, there's not even transparency for them in that moment where they went in, got rescheduled without even knowing that that judge was just simply never coming back.
And NorCal Resist is a grassroots mutual aid organization, mm-hmm. really focused in the Sacramento area, also a nonprofit. Did advocates there talk about how the presence or the actions of federal agents are affecting the work that they do?
Yes, so Garcia told me that volunteers have been verbally harassed and physically assaulted by mass agents in the past. Rhonda Rios-Kravitz with the Sacramento Immigrant Coalition, I also spoke to her. She said one of her friends, while accompanying immigrants, was pushed against the wall so hard it bruised her arm. According to Kravitz, the mass agents then took her up and down an elevator, took her picture and told her, you know, we know who you are. I did reach out to ICE to address these claims, both from NorCal Resist and Kravitz, and I did get a response saying they were working on a statement, but they never sent it. And even after I followed up, that was over a week ago now, and I still haven't heard back. And Kravitz says these tactics are meant to instill fear, you know, not just in immigrants, but also anyone who wants to help them.
Mm. So that was a specific instance where you reached out to federal immigration authorities for comment. Throughout your reporting, what has federal immigration officials, the DOJ, said about the terminations of federal judges?
So they haven't said much, right? The only thing they've done is they've cited Article 2 of the Constitution to defend the firings. That article simply establishes the executive branch and its powers. So they're essentially just saying that, you know, the administration could do this because it has the power to do so.
Yeah. Finally, what are you following?
Yeah. So I'm curious about how this government shutdown, if it does continue, how it's going to impact the immigration court system. You know, as we've been mentioning, they're dealing with a record high caseload and they've lost a huge chunk of experienced judges now, and they're going to have to rely on this pool of, you know, very inexperienced judges. So I expect cases are going to continue piling up.
Gerardo, thanks for sharing your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Gerardo Zavala is one of Cap Radio's State House politics reporters. We've been talking about the impact of the Trump administration firing dozens of immigration judges, including three in Sacramento, and what it means for immigrants that rely on these legal services. Still ahead, from arts education to a food fair and celebrating the spooky season, there is a lot to check out this weekend and throughout October. We'll get the latest updates on our monthly arts talk. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.